You know, you can see a hungry man eats different than a full man. Don't they? I mean, a hungry man. You don't care about if you picked up the salad fork or the dinner fork. You don't care, man. You're hungry. Are you hungry like that?
Amen.
Praise God. It makes a difference.
Amen.
Amen. I said it makes a difference. Praise God. Well, Father, we come to you today and we thank you. We thank you for the Word of God. Like we said earlier, it's our life. It's our everything. It's bread for us. It's food for us. It builds faith in our heart. It renews our mind. And the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we've come, our families have come to present ourselves in your presence corporately, Father, to hear the word, to be changed by the word, to mix our faith with the word, to know what to do so that when we leave here, we can be doers of the word. And Father, as we do, as James promised us, that God, as we set out to practice the word of God in our daily life, that we will experience the fruit and the blessing of doing so. I thank you for it. Thank you for helping me, Father, to help them in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Glory to God. So the way January seems to be shaping up, it's a preparation month for our church to really be able to hit the ground running with a vision in 2024, beginning in February. Not that we're not already running. I feel like I'm already running. You know, I'd had a little bit of a slower time in terms of my schedule from Thanksgiving to Christmas, and I started feeling a little antsy, you know. And the Lord said, you just need to simmer down and just take advantage. Don't feel bad. Catch up on some things around the house because it's not going to stay this way. You're going to be running again real quick. And I'm already begin to feel the run, you know, the engine turning. And, you know, when it's God and you're running, that's a good thing. Amen. And that's the way God wants you to be. Praise God. So this message is going to be, you know, one of those things, a prep thing. To bring our church into one mind, bring our church into one accord. Amen. Of course, that's going to require your participation and your agreement. Amen. So, you know, I have mentioned, my wife has mentioned, we were here on a Wednesday night just late in December. And at the end of the service, we had a brief time of prayer, corporate prayer, praying in the Spirit. And out of me came one of the gifts of the Spirit, diverse kinds of tongues. And then I interpreted that tongue. And it wasn't very long, but it was a nugget about what God had for us as a church in 2024. Now, you may hear other ministers that have voices maybe to the larger body of Christ, like Dr. Savelle, say something about what God's revealed to them about 2024, and that's good. You know, I regarded what God has spoken to Dr. Savelle. You know, God said to him, tell my people, stay in faith. Amen. Stay in faith. Keep your focus on the promises of God and don't be distracted or disturbed by anything that comes in 2024.
Yeah. Yeah.
God said to him, if you'll do that, 2024 for you, if you'll do that, amen, will be a year of progression, of acceleration, amen, and a year in which your highest expectations will be fulfilled.
Amen.
Bears witness with me. And but you should not pay attention to any prophetic voice about a theme for the year more than what God would say to your pastor, to our local church. Not that there's not merit and things to glean from. Amen. And so in that prophetic word, if you want to call it that, the Spirit of God said, as I interpreted that tongue, that 2024 will be a year to come and 2024 will be a year to go. Yes, 2024 will be a year of coming and going. Amen? And well, I have it on my heart. God's been dealing with me about that. Do you know that coming and going, I found out, I didn't know it, but coming and going is a theme in the Bible. Coming and going, I found it in the Scriptures. Coming and going is a theme in the Bible. Here in Acts chapter 9, we know that if you remember this Saul of Tarsus, he was a bloodthirsty, zealous man. He'd made a living during that season of his life persecuting Christians, jailing them, endorsing their stoning, imprisoning them. And of course, this Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus to do that very thing when all of a sudden a light shone round about him, brighter than the noonday sun, knocked all of him and his traveling companions to the ground. And then an audible voice was heard, he said, this Saul of Tarsus, saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's difficult for you to kick against the goads. The Amplified says it's dangerous for you to kick against the goads. You know when God's goading you about something? To kick against it? That's not my sermon, but that's dangerous. When the Spirit of God is nudging you in the side about separating from a certain relationship or a behavior or a place or a lifestyle, and you keep kicking against that, Paul said, Jesus in that moment, that's Jesus showed up on the road to Damascus. Said, why are you persecuting? Notice when you do harm to the body of Christ, Jesus takes it personal. One thing I would never do in any year is do anything to tear up a church, hurt a church, sow discord in a church, bring confusion to a church. Amen. I'm pretty easy to get along with, but you start doing that in my church, I'll deal with you. Well, that's not love. It's love to the hilt. I said it's love to the hilt. Anyway, but that's not my sermon. So Saul looked up and he goes, Lord. Smart. Lord, that's the first thing that came out of his mouth. Lord, what do you want me to do? And so he instructed him. He was blinded by that glory. And they led him by the hand into Damascus. And he was there on a street called Straight, I think. He was there on a street. And here's another disciple, Ananias. God says, I want you to go over here and minister to a guy named Saul. He goes, I know that guy. People die. I'm not going over there. I don't have a death wish, Father. And God said, no, I want you to do it. He's a chosen vessel of mine. You go that he might receive his sight and be filled with the Spirit. And Ananias did. And he took faith, but he did. Amen. Amen. And so we're going to just pick up something in this whole conversion of Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, right? Power of God hit him so hard, knocked the S off his name. Couldn't even find it. Had to find a P and put it on there. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That whole account is in Acts chapter 9. We're going to just pick it up in verse number 27. Now, you know, Saul, he had this reputation. And he's born again now. You're a new creature. Old things passed away, but how many of you know? Other people don't know it yet, that you're a new creation. And so the leadership in Jerusalem of the church, they won't have anything to do with him. And so here in verse 27 of Acts chapter 9, it says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken unto him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them. He was with them coming in and going out in Jerusalem. That's a funny way to say it. What was Paul doing? Coming in and going out. Now go back with me to the left to the first chapter of Acts. The first chapter of Acts. Where did this new Christian, this Apostle Paul, who would be the Apostle Paul, get this idea of coming and going? Well, let's find out. Acts chapter 1. This is Luke writing, and he's picking up from his gospel, just picked right up where he left off. And you remember Jesus told his disciples, don't start your ministry. Go and wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Wait for the promise of the Father, which was the Holy Ghost coming upon them. And so they're there in their up in that upper room and they're praying. And Peter gets this thing in his heart and mind that we got to get a replacement for Judas, right? And so there he's talking about that. And he's talking about the qualifications of Judas's replacement, all right? And so that's what he's talking about. And in verse 20 of Acts chapter 1, it says, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation, this prophecy about Judas, be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric or his office of ministry let another take. Wherefore, verse 21, wherefore of these men, or in other words, who of these men which have accompanied, who have been with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and went out among us? What did Jesus do? He went and out. That said he came and he went, right? He was coming and going. And what did Paul early in his ministry, what was he doing? He was coming and going. What did the Spirit of God say to us? 2024 is a year to come, and 2024 is a year to go. 2024 is a year of coming and a year of going. Amen. Now, it is imperative that every one of us as Christians understand that every single one of us has two callings. Every single one of us, I don't care who you are, you have two callings if you're born again. You have two callings. Y'all paying attention to me? Amen. Praise God. One, and the first and the primary calling is the call to come. And then if you're faithful and pay attention to the call to come, there'll come a day where God says, all right, now I'm time to engage in your second calling, the call to go. Amen. So I don't want to, everybody needs to get this point. You need to accept this. If you're a child of God, you don't have a call to stay home on your couch and watch church. It's not a call to come and watch live stream. It's a call to come. It's not a call to watch. We're called to come, not watch. Amen. 2024 is a year to come. It's not a year to stay away. It's not a year to hide in a hole. Not a year to hide out from a virus, a COVID, a this, a that, or whatever comes down the pipe. Amen. It's a year to get out of your house, get off your boots of hiney, and come to the house of God. Amen. 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 Glory to God. There is much in the call to come, as I hope that you'll see today. But we're not just called to come. Do you know that? We're not just called to come and get blessed. So many of us. Come on, how many of you could say the messages you've heard? And I'm not just talking about my preaching, but I'm talking about since you got born again. And then God, you know, He saw fit to put you around the message of faith. I mean, if you've ever heard a good message on the subject of faith, you know anything about believing God and walking by faith, you're a privileged group. Because most Christians live their life on planet Earth having never been taught faith, never been trained how to believe God, how to get their baby healed in the middle of the night. Amen? If you've ever heard the message that you've got authority in the name of Jesus, that you're sitting in heavenly places, that God wants you to prosper, that He wants you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you've ever heard a message about how to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, how to be led by God, amen, how to speak, how to declare, you ought to be thankful. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But there, like I said, there are millions of people who desperately need to hear what you hear. That's why we got the film crew. That's why Christian brothers, Nick and Dylan, are here employed in their company to help us get on TV with a commercial to let people know there's a church. Yes. That's the theme of the commercial. There is a church. Yes. There is a church that's preaching the word. Yes. There is a church that's not just about entertainment. Yes. There is a church that'll help you grow up. Yes. There is a church that's contending for signs and wonders. Yes. There's a church. Amen. Amen. Well, you know there's a church. How dare you stay away? Amen. Number one, how dare you stay away? And good, you know, you're here. I'm preaching the choir, right? Praise God. Amen. But amen. But how about another how dare? How dare we enjoy the rich food, the life-changing light and truth that we get to hear every week and not tell our coworker, not share with our neighbors and our friends and those that we interact with about the place that you go to every week? That is, God is using to change your life, heal your marriage, where you got healed in your body, how many of you, your marriage has gotten better, your finances have gotten better, you've learned how you're not depressed like you used to be depressed. The devil's not, is there anybody? The devil's not walking all over you like he used to walk all over you. Where did you learn? Where did you learn how to cast out devils? Where did you learn who you were in Christ? Where did you learn about the name of Jesus? Where did you learn about the power of tithing and how to prosper? And you found a preacher that wasn't ashamed to tell you about prosperity. I'm not tooting my own horn, but I'm just saying it's a low-down frog, Pastor Nancy said, that won't go out and extol the virtues of their own pond. And we need to do better telling people. You know, in one account of how Jesus got connected with Peter, Peter's an important person in the plan of God. You know, it says that, in one account it says that Andrew went to Peter and says, we found him. Well, who'd you find? The Messiah everybody's been waiting on. We found him. He's over there. And he said, come with me. And Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. Somebody brought Dr. Dufresne to Jesus, to church. And that little Filipino woman in that Assembly of God church spoke a tongue and the pastor was embarrassed. We have a visitor here. We finally got a visitor. And now here's our Filipino woman talking in tongues, going to run our visitor off. But her husband stood up and says, today's the day. Today's the day of salvation. Dr. Frank knew that was him. That was him. And he ran to the altar and got born again. But Jimmy Fraser, and you didn't want to say it or didn't know, weren't sure. But yeah, Billy Fraser got cussed out by Ed Dufresne. He said, why are you hiding in the bathroom? Because after I tried to witness to you, invite you to church, you'd cuss me out. And then to stay in the love of God, I had to go in the bathroom, pray in tongues for 10 minutes to just not get in the flesh. But how many of you know, even though Ed Dufresne cussed him out over and over and over again, Billy Fraser didn't stop witnessing to him. Billy Fraser didn't give up. Billy Fraser, amen, is going to receive all the fruit, all the reward. He's going to be made to share of Dr. Ed Dufresne's ministry. All the healings, all the churches raised up, all the preachers moving across the earth around the world because he fathered them. Billy Fraser. God's going to say to him on reward day, come here, Billy. You stand right there, Dr. Frank. Here's all the reward of that ministry. Because he wouldn't give up. He wasn't moved by good cussing. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we need to unify. I said we need to unify around the word of the Lord.
Amen.
2024 is here. Well, how do you unify? Well, you got to do more than shake your head at it and say amen. You have to make a decision.
Yeah.
I'm coming.
Amen.
I'm coming. And then I'm going. I'm coming and I'm going in 2024.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Praise God. Here's something I like about coming and going. Talking about if people will hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, if they'll diligently obey God's commandments, God sets out in verse 2 and starts talking about all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, right? If you'll hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field. Pastor John Aiken, he's blessed in the city. Pastor Chris is blessed in the field. Amen. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle and the increase of your kind and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket. That's your checking account and your store. That's your savings account, right? Look at verse 6. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Right? You come in through those doors. Blessed. You come into your house, blessed. If you're coming in, you're supposed to be blessed when you come in.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And then you're what? Blessed? Going out. You're blessed in here, but I'm going to kick you out of here in a little bit so you can come back. Amen. Coming and going. Coming and going.
Amen.
This means a lot to me because I've got just an added assignment on my calling.
Yeah.
I'm coming here to pastor this church, but then I got a call to go too. So I'm coming and going.
Amen.
Well, I'm blessed when I'm coming. I'm blessed when I'm going.
Amen.
Coming and going is a theme in the Bible. Amen. So with the time I have, I won't get really into the call to go too much today. But I want to talk for a minute about the call to come.
Amen.
And to get us to see some things. So go to Revelation 22. And let's, in the board, if you'll put that up as my notes indicate in the Amplified Translation. Revelation 22:17. I believe, I hear in my heart, there is a beckoning call of the Spirit on people who got away from church. People who backslid. People who got covered up with fear during COVID. People that got into the carnal bad habit of doing church online only. People that got hurt in church. People that just got busy and got away. There is a beckoning call of the Spirit to come. To come. Amen. So in Revelation chapter 22 verse 17 from the Amplified Classic, it says the Holy Spirit and the bride say, come. The Amplified says the church, the true Christians say, come. Now, I recognize that the purest of the context is we're saying to Jesus, come back. But I sense in my spirit, and it's indicated in this verse a little bit later, that we as the true Christians, we need to be out there this year voicing that call of the Spirit to say, come. Come, come to the house of God. Come and eat. Come and drink. Come and take your place. Come and be restored. Come and bring your supply. Come and receive what you need. With no condemnation. No beating yourself up about the past. But come. So, but I want you to see, do you see the Holy Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who is listening, are you listening? Yep. Say, come. Well, say it out loud. Say, come. And let everyone come who is thirsty, who is painfully conscious of his need. Now, I've got to, you know, I'm thinking about, I'm not just preaching to the faces I'm seeing. People watch and people listen. Yeah. Everywhere I go to a conference, they'll say, I watch you every week. I'm like, you do? You never say nothing. But they are. Amen. And there's people out there, if you're conscious of your need, right? Oh, if you're thirsty, those things of which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened, whoever earnestly desires to do it, let him come. Take appropriate. See, when you come, don't just come to come. Don't just come because it's a habit to come. We're glad about that. Come and appropriate. Right. Yeah. Come and eat what your pastor's serving. Yes. Come and partake. Amen. Come and lay hold. Yeah. Come and receive it. Yeah. Then leave and act upon it. Amen. Let him come. Take, appropriate, and drink of the water of life freely. Amen. And we need to cooperate, congregation, with the Spirit's call to the lost, to the backslidden believer, to the one who's afraid, to the one who's down, to the one who's hopeless, to the one who said, I'm done going to church. The Spirit of God loves them. Jesus loves them. We should love them. Amen. And we're saving a seat for you. We have less and less available, but you know, we do have a few left. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, as you go and you testify, we need to remember that the church is a healing place. Amen. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 10. Is this okay?
Yes.
Luke chapter 10. The church is a place of healing. And if it's not been that, then that church just erred. It just wasn't what Jesus meant it to be. Amen. And no church is perfect. Right? Stop looking for perfection in me. You're not going to find it. How about we make a deal? You don't expect me to be perfect. And I'll give you a break. Amen. Jesus is the only one perfect. We serve a perfect Savior. We have a perfect Holy Ghost and we have a perfect Father. And that's all. We won't be perfect till we arrive on the other side. But the church is to be a place of healing. You need to help me make this place a place of healing. So we don't come here and tear up stuff. We don't come here and we wound people. We don't gossip about each other. We believe the best of each other. And those personalities, that they just personalities rub us the wrong way. Well, that's fine. Maybe we're not best friends, but we still love each other. And we value one another. Amen. And we're quite okay with the uppity businessman that buys all his clothes at Neiman Marcus. You know, sitting right next to the guy who loves wearing his coveralls from Tractor Supply.
Yeah. That's right.
Right?
Amen.
That's fine with us. Because that's what heaven's going to look like.
That's right.
Heaven's going to be young. Heaven's going to be old. Heaven's going to have long hair and short hair and no hair. Maybe everybody gets their hair back. I don't know. Praise God. The church is supposed to be a place of healing.
That's right.
And I want it to be that. That's my heart.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. The church is to be a place of restoration. A place of restoration. You see someone broken and messed up, they are a candidate for this place. Right? This is a triage place. This is where Humpty Dumpty brings all of its pieces in a dustpan and where God uses us to put that thing back together. Amen. I can see all your scars and your glue marks. Amen. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? Hallelujah. The church is to be a place where people are set free and delivered of every kind of bondage. The church is to be a place of transformation. So here in Luke chapter 10, the familiar story of the church of the Good Samaritan, verse 30, Jesus said and answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves who stripped him." Notice that, you might mark that. "Stripped him of his clothes, wounded." So we have the word wounded. He's stripped and he's wounded. "And departed him, leaving him half dead." You know, that's the experience of most people out in the world. The world and their choices and sin and death and the curse and the devil and all that's worse has stripped them of soundness of mind, stripped them of right thinking, stripped them of morality, stripped them of dignity, stripped them of health, stripped them of supply, stripped them of a good marriage, and left them wounded and left for dead. And then Jesus goes on and talks about what religion does to people like that. Religion, amen, is a terrible thing. So it says, "It left him half dead," verse 31. "Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, he came and looked and passed by on the other side." He didn't want to get in that mess. Didn't want to get involved. Didn't want to put himself out there. Listen, we're called to put ourselves out there. I put myself out there every week behind a pulpit. You need to get out there on your, if I don't want you to have TikTok, but if you do, I talked to a pastor. She's got a teenage girl, I think she said she's 12, who's got TikTok. And hundreds of people are being born again. She gets up there and starts TikToking, a 12-year-old girl, and preaching the gospel. If you're going to have TikTok, that's what it's for. That little church no bigger than us. They said, I asked her, I said, "I heard what you said. Are you not blowing smoke?" That their church had almost 5,500 souls saved by as people went into their community in their church. Wow. 5,500.
Wow.
Well, and he said, she said, "Pastor Joni said, this one girl's, you know, she's not doing all of them, but she just counts for hundreds of them. Little kids getting born again on her TikTok channel."
Amen.
Come on. I'm trying to stay off the go part. Hallelujah. But we need to put ourselves out there. Amen. And not just turn a blind eye like these religious people did. "I don't want to mess with that. I'm too good for that. I'm too spiritual for that. That makes me unclean." You need to get unclean. Jesus just, you know where he started with me, don't you? Right in the middle of my lowest, most pathetic mess. Drunk and suicidal at a frat party. He climbed into my mess with me. He didn't think that was going to make him unclean.
Amen.
Amen. But verse 33 says, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion." Come on, guys.
Amen.
He had compassion.
That's right.
So compassion led him, made him step out of his comfort zone.
Yeah.
He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. That's spiritually significant. And he set him on his own animal. He used his own equipment. He was willing to use his own resources to help put someone's life back together that the world had left stripped and wounded and left for dead. Amen. Now here's what I want you to see especially. "And brought him to an end." He brought him to an end. He brought the man out of the world where he was stripped, wounded, and left for dead, and brought him to an end. Notice the man didn't wander into the end. It's not enough for us to have this beautiful building in an amazing location with a good sign. They're not wandering in enough. You need to throw them over your back like a wounded soldier would be carried and bring them in. I said bring them in. Reverend Richard Roberts is coming Sunday morning, February the 4th, has an amazing healing anointing. He's one of the only surviving active ministers that was ever a part of the healing revival of the 40s and 50s. Oral Roberts, Catherine Kuhlman, all these ministers imparted to him. Got an amazing healing ministry. Why don't you bring some sick people Sunday morning, February the 4th? Hallelujah. So he brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, that's 2 days' wages if you study it, and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him. Who's the good Samaritan in this story? Jesus. Who's the beat up guy? Sinners in the world. Who's the inn? We are. I wonder why Jesus gave 2 days' wages. Because he's coming back in 2 days. And a day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is 1 day.
Amen.
He gave a charge to the inn and to the innkeeper, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. Church, that's our job. Now you got to show up at the inn to help me take care of the people that are coming. Here's where we really need to get. Church, there's a measure of spiritual growth you get to when you get to that place where coming to church is no longer just about you. I don't come to this place for me. Now I receive, but I'm here to give. And I spend my week preparing to give. Amen. And you may not be the preacher, the singer, or the lead anything. Amen. But you should come prepared.
Amen.
To give of yourself.
Yes.
To give a word of encouragement.
Amen.
To have some faith to pray. To come into pre-service prayer and pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
To do whatever is called on to serve the church family.
Amen.
To befriend somebody that you can call during the week. How about these single moms? Facing all this inflation, all these financial pressures, all these little rugrats running around, and they don't have a daddy. Well, you could adopt one of them. I said you could adopt one of those families.
Amen.
In faith and prayer and help them, encourage them, call them, fill their tank with gas occasionally, ask them how they're doing.
Amen.
I'm telling you. How about our elderly? How about our shut-ins? I can't do it all. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I think I'm preaching a little better than your amen. Amen. We need to understand that the first call is the call to come. Now think about this. We don't have too much longer. I know what time it is. When Jesus showed up and it was time for his ministry to begin, what invitation did he give to people? To 12. What's that word?
Come.
He didn't tell them anything about a ministry to go that would take them around the world. The first and only call was the call to come. To come and follow Jesus. So that's the process. You come in out of the world, you get bandaged up, you get healed up, and then you start getting your mind renewed. You start getting taught the word. You start growing up in the Lord. And then you don't just sit there and get fat and blessing.
Right.
Amen. You become a soldier in the Lord's army. And you become fit where I could put an assignment on you.
Yes, amen.
I could tell you, you serve here. You get in that class. You do this. This week I want you to pray about that.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. But our first and primary call is to come and follow Jesus. Come and have an intimate relationship with Jesus, a personal relationship with Jesus.
Right.
Their call on the 12 was to come and be with him.
Yes.
Well, say, I can do that. I'm coming and following Jesus. I don't need a church. No, when he left, he gave us further instruction.
Yeah.
The call to come now is to come to the local church and sit under the ministry gifts that through them Jesus will produce in his disciples. Amen. What he was physically doing with the 12. Never called. You'll never get there on your own or watching online by yourself. There's a call to come. Amen. There is a call to come. Listen, if we fail in the call to come, we are not fit to go. No one is safe to go in the name of Jesus who hasn't first come right and properly and received. It was only after a period of time where they came and followed Jesus and they were just with Him. That's what they were doing. And they were with Him and they were at the Crusades and they were listening to His teaching and they were asking Him questions and He was imparting to them and He was equipping them. But eventually in Luke chapter 9, the day came where it says, "And now I anoint you and I authorize you. I give you authority over sickness and disease and I authorize you. You have all power over demons. Now you go two by two." He started sending them out two by two into the cities and villages. And they went and preached the kingdom and they healed and they cast out devils. But where did they learn to do that? Where did they get empowered to do that? Where did they get equipped to do that? At the feet of Jesus. Today in the New Testament, it's at the feet of your pastor. Amen. That's not the only source of discipleship, but it's a major. I don't have time, but Ephesians chapter 4, he said when he ascended, he went to the Father, he gave gifts unto men. And he gave unto some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints that they might do the work of the ministry.
Amen.
So part of coming to church is not just so you can be pet and told how wonderful you are. A big part of it eventually has to be training and equipping and empowerment so that you can get out there for 6 days and go into Paducah and heal the sick and lead people to Christ. Did anybody pray for somebody that doesn't go to church this week? I mean, you prayed with them, you prayed for them. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's good. 5. Amen. Anybody have a spiritual conversation with someone that's away from God, didn't go to church? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Amen. 7, 8. Come on, that's 8 out of 150, 160, 170. We need to do better.
Amen.
I said we need to do better.
Yeah.
I'm giving you a challenge this week. Amen. I heard what Brother Copeland did, and I thought I liked what he did. He said, lately, he's been, when he goes into a hotel, he goes into the gas station, they say, "How you doing, sir?" He'll go, "Great. One day closer to the resurrection."
Yeah.
And they go. But he's led people to the Lord.
Yeah.
He went into some, I think, hair salon, he said, or something, and he said that. And all the other ladies there were Christians, and they were like, "Yeah, that's right, you're talking about second coming." But this one lady was Catholic, and she was away from God. And she followed him around everywhere he went in that little store. "Now, sir, what did you..." And she started asking him questions.
Mm-hmm.
And amen. And just that one little nugget lit a fire under her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because she was just reminded that Jesus is coming soon. So that's our challenge this week.
Amen.
You walk into a store and someone says, you walk into work, "How you doing?" "Great. One day closer to the resurrection."
Yeah.
Amen. Just leave them there if you need to. Amen. Well, you say this, "One day closer to the rapture." That's good news if you're ready for the rapture, but that'll give you a good wedgie. I mean, if you're not ready for the rapture and you hear about it, y'all need to loosen up a little bit on me. But you understand that the call to come is a call to discipleship. It's a call for training. It's a call to service. And you can't serve the local church online. I said, you cannot serve the local church online. Amen. Amen. Well, there's one other aspect of this that I want to talk about the call to come before we break. You can go with me to, I'm trying to just find a last scripture here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's do that.
Hallelujah.
It's just another aspect of the call to come. Implied in the call to come is a call to separate. It is a call to come out. To answer the call to come in, you at the same time have to be willing to come out. And this is where many Christians fail. This is where many Christians stumble. What they are unwilling to do. They're happy to go to church occasionally and wave a white hanky and say amen at the idea of how much God loves them. But don't talk to me about living right. And don't talk to me about a standard. And don't talk to me about my dress. And don't talk to me about where I go and the music I listen to. Because I'm not willing to come out. But part, inherent in part of the call on Jesus on our lives to come, to come in. You can't come in if you're not willing to come out. Amen. So in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, and I want to read this from the New Living Translation, and then we'll be done here. You know, I never get done. I just have to stop. Years ago, I stopped writing conclusions. You know, they say in Bible school, you got to write an amazing introduction, have good substance, and then an amazing conclusion. I'd write these amazing conclusions, I thought. I never got to them. I just stopped writing them. Amen. So let's listen to this from the New Living. I love this. Verse 14. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. Mm-hmm. Young people, what are you going to do about that scripture? What are you going to do about it? You going to buck up and be a real Christian? Or not?
Right.
How about you parents? You being a good example to your kids?
Come on.
Or are you teaming up with people who don't go to church, don't love Jesus, don't live right? Bible says don't team up. Don't team up. The King James, you know, talks about yoked. Don't get yourself linked. Don't get yourself hooked. Don't get yourself tied. Amen. To unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will live in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God. You say, isn't He my God? Well, He's your God in relationship. But he wants, when he's using the word be, he means experience.
Yeah.
Many of you, you are saved, you do belong to Jesus, but he isn't being your God.
Yeah.
He's not living in you. He's not walking among you because you're mixed and mingled with the unclean.
Right.
Thank you, Reverend Richard. Hallelujah. He said, I'll live in them. Meaning, it'll be evident that God is inside of you.
Yeah.
Amen. He will walk among you. In other words, He'll walk in you when you go to work. He'll walk in you when you go to Walmart. He'll walk in your life.
Yes.
Amen. And look at this. He said, I will be their God. In other words, I'm going to show up as their defender, their provider, their healer, their deliverer, their protector, their best friend. And when they launch out to pray, to speak for me, to pray in Jesus' name, I will be in them. I will live in them. I will show up in them. I will heal the sick through their hand. The devils will flee when they say, go in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Therefore, verse 17, mark it down. Therefore, come out. Come out from among unbelievers. And separate yourselves from them. Amen. Some of you need to purge your playlist. You need to purge your movie stand. You need to, come on. Amen. Come out. Some of you need to purge relationships that are not right. Separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Do not touch their filthy things. And I will welcome you. And I will be your father. And you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty.
Amen.
The believer is called righteous in this passage. The unbeliever is called an unbeliever. is called wickedness. The believer is called light. The unbeliever is called darkness. The believer is called Christ. The unbeliever is called the devil or Belial. You know, Belial literally means, in the Hebrew, it literally means worthlessness or hopelessness. You join yourself to an idol. You've joined yourself to a worthless, empty, hopeless thing. There's no fruit in that. The believer is called the temple of God, while the unbeliever is called an idol. So there is a call to come out. And I want to challenge you, come out of sin. Come out of compromise. Come out of worry and fear into faith and peace. Come out of those dark dives and hangouts and websites and chat rooms and movies and movie theaters and places of entertainment. Come out. Come out and be a clean vessel so that God can walk in you this year. Amen. Come out and come in. I mean, come in. Come in like the popes did. They showed up and said, "We've been here forever, whether you like it or not. It's our place." I love that. Yeah. Right? Kind of take you back at first, but then they've proven themselves. We're legit. We're in. This is our house. This is our church family. Amen. They were out and they came in. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And you come in, you don't let anything. Distractions. Distresses. Persecutions. Hardships. Test trials. Busyness. Excuses. Lies of the devil. Deceptions. Carnality. Selfishness. Keep you from coming to the place of healing, restoration, deliverance, transformation. Amen. And the place where you're equipped to go bring that same flow to others outside this church. Amen. I'd love to see the Lord add at least 100 new members to this church family in 2024. And it's not all Dylan's job. Amen. He's going to help us. Amen. Praise God. It doesn't matter how much money we spend in marketing. The greatest, the most effective tool is you. I said it's you. And Jesus needs you this year. He needs you to come. He needs you to go. Amen. Did you get anything out of that? This is what's been in my heart. And we just need, I'm asking you to unite around that idea. Meditate on it. Talk to God about it. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
It's going to be a good year. So it's going to be a good year. Hallelujah. 2 weeks from now, we're going to receive our first special projects offering. Envelopes are on the board. There's quite a few of them out there. Go get one. And we're believing God. We're going to, obviously, got the money to pay Dylan. I don't want him nervous about that. That's easy. But we want to start buying airtime so that this wonderful commercial introducing, really, the church to the region in a new way, that we got plenty of money there to. It does no good that it's really cool that we look good and Dylan did a good job and Nick, if nobody sees it. And this is where it takes money. I said it takes money. But if some family sees that and decides, you know what, there is a church, I'm going to go to that church. And they stick and they stay. You think about it. It'd be worth it. If we spent $100,000 on it in 2024, it'd be worth it. If one family came out of the world and came to this church and started getting their life put back together. So let's be ready and believe in God for a breakthrough, big offering for special projects. Amen. Would you bow your head with me today? Praise God. Is there anybody here present? Anybody watching online?